St. George's number one station with Washington County's top talk show, The Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning, 909. It is KDXU. I am Andy Griffin. Mello is here, too, to screen our calls. And it is Mayor Thursday. Mayor Michelle Randall is with me via the telephone today. Michelle, some stuff going on, couldn't be here, but she is here in voice. Anyway, Michelle, how are you?
I'm good, Andy. How are you?
Doing okay. Thank you for, you know, for coming on today. Michelle will be on middle of the month next month. We're planning on, what was it, June 15th, did we decide, or
yes,
something like that?
Yeah. So,
we will miss you, but we'll get the latest lowdown from Michelle Randall in June 15th. So, right now we have you here live. Thank you again for coming on. Big day in St. George. Saturday, of course, Ironman 70.3. This kind of event, I mean, we've gone the rounds with the people, and, wow, I hate having this event and all the inconvenience and everything, but are you a big Ironman fan? Are you happy it's here, and do you always want it here?
I'm happy it's here. I mean, I just don't know how people, if you've never been down and watched toward the finish line, these athletes are just, they blow my mind.
Yeah.
And they're so inspiring. And this year it's not a world championship. It's just a regular 70.3, which it's actually kind of a breather for us because we've had the championships. The last time it was a two-day race. Today, I mean, Saturday it's going to be just one day. Ladies and the men will run together, and instead of 6,500 athletes here, we have like 2,500. So for us, this is like a walk in the park.
Piece of cake, right? Not a walk in the park, maybe a run in the park.
A run in the park, exactly. And, you know, people do, we try to mitigate the traffic as well as we can. You know, whenever you have big events, of course, there's going to be traffic issues. But if you go to St. George's website, sgcity.org or ironman.greaterzion.com, it will show you all of the traffic impacts that are happening around the town. There's QR codes on the signs. So it just shows you what to avoid, how to get around, what time the roads will open back up, those that are closed. And the St. George PD, they posted that we're trying a couple of options this year to help the community know about the traffic detours. And so if the first option is to get text updates, so you text GZ as in Greater Zion, Ironman, to 888-777.
Hmm.
And you will get updates on your phone the whole day. And then once the race is over, you won't get anything again. But it will let you know what impacts there are. So that's an easy way to do it as well.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're shutting the entire thing down. Is it 4:30 Saturday? So they'll take all the cones. Everything will be cleared out of there, and things will be pretty much back to normal at 4:30. That's the cutoff. So
yeah, it will not have the impact of the world championship. That's for certain. So people should be happier about that. But you got to realize the economic impact it has for our city. I don't know if you saw in St. George News yesterday, but the university did an impact study on the art festival, and I don't know, did you go down, Andy, at all to the art festival?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I wouldn't. I've gone. I think we did the math. I think I've gone to the art festival like 32 years in a row or something like that. So I wouldn't miss it.
Did you see the Mayor's Award?
Mayor's Award. Which one was that? I don't know. I went. I went early.
It was a huge portrait of either Tokerville or Circleville.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah, okay.
And that frame was so amazing. But I'm telling you, that is a hard decision to make because there's and this year pressure. It was bigger than it's ever been before. And so the university, when they did their study, said that was a $30 million economic impact. And that's what residents, we try to get through to them, that these events help keep our property taxes lower because we are gaining so much in sales tax from people who are just coming here to visit and then they go home when they're done. So anyway.
Mayor, I've already gotten a couple of texts on this, and I guess we'll jump into it early, but let's see. The mayor is considering eliminating the option for public comments during meetings and instead of allowing only email submissions. The intent seems to be silence in the opposition. Anyway, it's a pretty long text. There was a couple of them, and I just wanted to get your thoughts, your feelings on this.
So this is what the exact language is going to say.
Okay.
It says, in place of in-person comments once a month, the city is moving to allow residents to submit written public comments at any time to be included in the public record. In doing so, comments from the public will not only be available to the city council and mayor, but also to the general public. And then we've set up a website, public-comments@sgcity.org, or they can mail them in, and they will be available to look up on their website every Friday. We're going to try this for a while and see how it goes. So when Mayor Pike set up public comments a few years ago, you know, we'd go months and months without anybody coming. Or when they came in, there was actually things that people would bring to our attention that we weren't aware of that they needed help with. Like, every time it rains, my business floods. There's a storm drain issue or something that we could really fix. Now we're just getting the same people, and I notice it's the same people at city council. It's the same people that go to the county commission meetings. It's the same people that go to the school board meetings, and we're getting 3-minute speeches at us, not, you know, and mostly to the audience. And there has been so much division created, you know, between one side and the other, and it's just not the Dixie spirit. It is just not the Dixie spirit. And so after last month, I said, I'm going to go this route. We have a few cities in our county that don't even have public comment. It's not required. That's at the mayor's discretion. And this way, if you want to email us or mail us a public comment every single day, we will get it. And we will post it so that it is part of the public record.
So someone could maybe post a comment early, you know, maybe the Friday before, and that will also maybe give you guys a little more opportunity to prepare an answer for a public comment, right? Is that also helpful?
Well, right now we don't even answer during public comment.
Right, that's true.
You know, yeah. We just hear them and then move on to the next person, and then the next person. And depending on how many show up, like last month, I had to limit them to 2 minutes. This way, if they want to write a 10-page letter and submit it, I read all my emails and I try to respond to almost everyone. There's some people I don't respond to because their email just doesn't deserve a response. When you are hateful and mean, why, you're just not going to get a response back from me. But, you know, some people have said, well, you're taking away our First Amendment right to free speech. And no, we're still allowing you to, we're actually, instead of only hearing you the first Thursday of every month, we can hear you all month long if you want, if that's the route you choose.
Have you gotten any positive feedback about this? Because it seems like to me, I could see some people going, well, you're not going to let us talk as much. But other people could say, hey, at least I have a forum here where I can, like you said, if I have something longer, because 2 minutes or 3 minutes is not very long. But if I have something longer I want to say, and the fact that you guys have committed to publishing these comments and making them a priority for you to look at. It seemed like a good thing in some ways. Have you gotten any positive feedback, or has it all been negative? Like I said, I've gotten three texts already on this on the negative side.
Well, I've only gotten one negative email. But last month, we had a lady show up. She showed up late. All the forms were gone. And she pulled aside one of the council members after and said that she wanted to talk about a street that she's noticed is really dangerous for pedestrians. It's, what street is it? Is it 100 South when people are trying to cross over to Town Square, not down by the light, but a different area? And she said she had seen almost two people get hit there, and it was really starting to worry her, and she wanted to bring it to our attention to see if we could do something like they have at Judd's. She wasn't allowed to get up because the forms were all gone. She showed up late. And so this way she can email us that and we'll see it right away. And I can send it over to Public Works and say, how can we help fix this? How can we mitigate this? And like I said, it may not be forever. We're just going to test it for a while.
One thing I will say, folks, and by the way, if you want to comment, you can actually call into this show every first Thursday of the month and talk with Mayor Randall. That's kind of one of the things is there are avenues for you to access your public servants, including the mayor, text and email. You've never been shy about giving out your number and giving out your email address, and like you said, you'll respond to folks as long as they are reasonable and not hateful
and
spiteful.
Yeah, if they start off with their email calling me a horrible name, then I'm just going to delete, you know. But I think people can disagree and still be respectful. And yes, my phone number is 632-9116, and I give that out to people all the time. And
oops, sorry about that. Steve, I think, is there. I pushed the button too early. Steve, though, if you want to talk to the mayor, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I would like to continue the conversation about the policy. You know, this really feels like a move by the city council and the mayor to really shut down any kind of discussion that is contrary to what the city council is doing. And I'll use a couple examples. The only reason why the Safe St. George initiative got shut down was because the people who care, and by the way, Mayor, the reason why it's always the same people at all the meetings is because they're the ones who are paying attention, and they're the ones that are trying to actually have some input into their local government. But the fact is the tax increase would have gone through if nobody could show up and actually verbalize their opposition to it. The most recent meeting where the drag show was going to be held in Snow Park, people showed up because they don't like what's happening in their city. And I would encourage you, instead of trying to silence people, instead of trying to tell them, just shut up and sit down. We're the smart ones in the room. We know what we're doing. If you guys would just go away, we could really have a great city. That is not how governance in America works. You, Mayor, work for the people of St. George. And if you're not going to listen to them, then I would suggest perhaps you're not fit for the office.
That's your opinion, and thank you. But Safe St. George was a public hearing. We will still hear from the public during public hearings. That is, will never change. That is how that works. And we had already put a moratorium, so the drag show was not happening before last month's public comments. And so that those public comments didn't sway us. That had already been, the moratorium on new special events had already been shut down, and three different vendors had been shut down for advertising prior to getting their permit. And so I disagree there. I just think that there are so many ways to contact your local officials, and most of the time we hear from them via telephone or email.
A couple of other texts. Somebody says, I have mixed thoughts about what you said with the public comment. Is this a way to sidebar controversy? Another one says, limiting public participation and a way to share with each other is a bad idea. Any thoughts on those? You know, it's weird, Michelle, I'm kind of mixed on this because I can see people's perspective, but I can also see where that could really bog down a meeting if we have 2 hours worth of comments where nothing is actually being accomplished except for people airing their grievances. It doesn't seem like that would be very productive.
Well, and that's what we found is there's a lot that hasn't been productive. The city council, the majority of the council members said, yes, let's try this. So this just wasn't me. And I could have just done this all on my own because public comments are the mayor's prerogative. And we never started them until a few years ago. And like I said, there's other cities that they won't have them. They just refuse. So a public hearing is different. Like if it's for taxes, like we have several public hearings tonight on different issues. So we'll always hear the public on that, and they get up and they really don't even have a time limit. So I just think we're going to try this, see if we hear from people. If they don't take advantage of it, then I'm sorry. I hope they do, because we could be hearing from them and it can go in the public record weekly instead of just once a month.
See another text. One of the primary duties of the mayor is to allow redress of grievances. I'm kind of mixed. I feel like you can still be heard if these comments are being published online and if they're being addressed. If you have, maybe you can talk about that, Michelle. If someone brings up a concern, a real concern, and it under the new system, it is posted. You guys have looked at it. Are you going to make an effort to address all the things that people are sending in?
Absolutely. I always do. Any email I get, if it's something, and so I'll look at it and say, I need to bring the police in on this one. So I'll forward it to them and say, help me with this. What can we do here? Or the water department, or I have a way to direct that to get something solved. And it's always, people have always reached out that way to me or sent me a text or called me on the phone. And so that's just how it's worked. And we're going to just try it this way for a while.
Couple of other texts, changing topics, perhaps a good thing at this point. This one says, shout out to the St. George Road crew for filling in the pothole on 1600 North. Great job, and 3 exclamation points there. That's cool. Gil Onquist, county commissioner, says the problem is decorum has been lost. I kind of see
very
that.
Very true. It has been, and we're seeing it. You know, it's nationwide. It's trickling down from the top all the way to the local level, and decorum has been lost. And I can have a group of school children, like fifth graders, come in, and which I did a few months ago, and the entire city council chamber was filled. And those were the most respectful kids, and then they had questions, they raised their hands. There was no booing, clapping, cheering. Even when you ask politely, you've got adults that just get louder and louder, like, you can't tell me what to do. And really, when we're in an official meeting, there is a decorum that needs to be met. And it just can't be a free-for-all.
I agree.
Some people don't like that. How much time do we have, Andy, before break?
Only about a minute and a half. Let's do this. Let's get this other caller in. It is, again, not on the decorum part. And then we'll take a break, and then we can get to the next topic. So, hey, you're on with Andy and with Mayor Michelle Randall. How are you?
Great. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
Yeah, changing the subject real quick. Down on River Road, down by Yesco, in fact, even, you know, further west, the road is a total disaster.
Yes, it is.
And what are your plans to get that road fixed and how soon?
So we have budgeted to fix that road. So our fiscal year budget starts in July. Mm-hmm. And tonight we're doing a high overview of the budget. We haven't like got into the nitty gritty yet, but that is one of the things in the capital projects that will be addressed. We had a neighborhood open house at the new park at Desert Canyon last Thursday. And when I was driving home, cause I take River Road to get home, I was following a truck and we were both straddling the ruts, and it's because of all the heavy trucks out there. And so they're not sure exactly the expense yet, because once they get into it, they need to see how far down they're going to have to mill and fill to fix that road. But it is in the budget coming up in July.
Okay. All right. You're doing a great job, Mary. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. There's definitely road concerns and things that the nuts and bolts of running a city, and that mayor is heavily involved in all that stuff too. Mayor, you okay? We're gonna take a little break here.
Yes, and then I just had like a couple of questions from last month that I wanted to answer for people. So
very good, and I think we probably ought to talk. There's a new meetings coming up about. An exit that might be going in, probably going in 700 South. We can talk about that, too, when we come back.
Yep.
9:30 on KDXU. Let's check in with a weather report and a couple of commercials, and then we'll be back with Mayor Randall. Welcome back. I'm Andy. It's 9:35. Thanks again to Mello Finlinson over there, helping us out in the tall screening, hanging out and being cool. Mello, by the way, has lost like 7,000 pounds. She looks amazing. It's incredible. You do look good, Mello. I know it's not 7,000, but... And it is Mayor Thursday on the Andy Griffin Show. Mayor Michelle Randall via telephone today had some arrangements she had to make. So we got her by phone, though, instead of in person. So I don't smell your incredible perfume, Michelle. What did we decide? What was the name of that stuff, by the way?
Andy, we've discussed this. I can't pronounce it. I don't know.
It's French, right? It's French. Anyway.
I'm not French.
So I can almost smell it from here. But Michelle, thanks for coming on today. You had a couple of answers to questions from last time you were on.
One was on South River Road last time, and I wanted to make sure that was going to be in this fiscal year's budget, and it is. And then the other person called in about the Shadow Mountain Retention Basin, mm-hmm. and the city does maintain that. We go in two or three times a year and clean that up and clean it out. And so if they think it's looking horrible, then, you know, text me or call and let me know, and I'll pass that on to our public works department.
Okay, very cool. It's been talked about a lot, and it fortunately hasn't happened yet. That's flooding. I've had Zach Renstrom on, and he said, well, as long as we don't get a lot of rain up there, warm rain on our snowpack. We had a report today said we're only about a third of the way through the snowmelt, which means we still have two-thirds left. I know you guys have done a lot. They call it mitigation, getting ready for the flood. Do sometimes, though, you feel like you're like, when is the other shoe going to drop? I mean, can we avoid this? And, of course, it's not up to us. It's up to Mother Nature. But do you feel like St. George is ready just in case?
I think we are in better shape than most cities throughout Utah, Washington County as a whole, because of 2005 and 2010 and all of the mitigation we've done. So right now the Virgin River is running at 2,000 cubic feet a second. That is a lot. And last year at this exact time, it was 100 cubic feet per second. So keep that in mind.
That is quite a difference.
And like you said, all the snow has not come down yet. They think it'll be running that high possibly through the month of June. And
as far as the Santa Clara as well, the water is really coming over the spillway. What I'm really concerned about, not only just flooding, but with school getting out and, you know, kids love to go down and play by the river. It is so dangerous right now.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's stick a kayak in there, or go tubing down there. It's too dangerous to do that. There was a drowning up in Zion a few days ago.
Yeah.
So it might not look like it's as fast and can take you down, but it can. And so please stay away from the river until things settle down, because it's just going to keep running high because there is still a ton of snow. You go up to Bryan Head, you go up to Kolob, the snow up there is still just incredible. So, and that all has to come down.
Just in the last couple of days, there have been reports from northern Utah, people too close to the water. People, you know, thought that, well, you know, I'm just going to maybe step on a log or a rock, I'll be fine. And then, and their life, you know, ended their life. And so it's, you don't have to go far, you know, just look at the news headlines to find out people who maybe underestimated the power of the water. We just need to stay away from the fast-flowing rivers right now. I know Zach Rensman talked a lot about that, too. He said, you know, we may not get the flooding, or not very much flooding this year. We may have, you know, have dodged a bullet a little bit. He says, but there's still going to be, we're going to still have some issues of people not realizing how powerful this current, the current of the river is. And you know, just like that, it's over, like you said.
And so. I've seen, even on the news, all of water, rapid water recovery people, or whatever it's called.
Practicing.
Yeah. Because they know there's going to be some people in the river and hopefully not fatalities, but if you're going to chance going in there and with the Virgin River, look at how you can't even see what's below you. I mean,
right.
It's nice and muddy and ugly, and you can't see a log or anything that might really hurt you. So it's just best to err on the side of caution and just stay away until it quits running so high and so fast.
A couple of examples of that. First of all, the Gunlock, it was just a few years ago, somebody jumped in when Gunlock was high, thinking that it was a great pool to jump into. There's a rock right below the surface of the water,
oh, yeah.
And that person died. I was hiking Canara Falls a few years back and slipped. It was starting to rain. We decided to get out of there. On our way down, I slipped and landed what I thought would be just kind of in the water. Well, there was a pointy, sharp rock, and I landed right on my left upper thigh, shall we call it, and I don't bruise, but I received a ginormous bruise and had to live with that for a while and the pain of that. So you just never know what's under the surface of the water, for sure. Scary stuff.
So. Yeah, I've been watching, you know, some of the cities up north that they're having to sandbag and redirect water and they still have a ton of snow to come down as well. So I just think we're going to fare fairly well and keep our fingers crossed and go from there.
The one thing that might change all that is if we get a warm rain, and that's what Zach Renstrom was talking about. He said it's a loaded gun up there, and all it needs is somebody to pull the trigger, and that would be one of our warm summer rains. The storm that's supposed to hit today, fortunately, the temperatures have stayed down, and it's supposed to be a very small storm, so I'm not too worried about this storm here, but who knows? Who knows what the future holds, right,
Michelle? Yeah, I look at the weather several times a day, and saw the storm coming, but then checked the temperatures in the higher elevations and thought, okay, we'll be okay. It's not like an 80 degree, you know, rainstorm up there. So that's good.
Somebody texted in, said, even with the benefits of Ironman, is the city still planning to raise property taxes in the future?
That's something we're going to have to look at right now. So, like I said, we'll have a general overview of
of our budget tonight at City Council. And there are, let's see, so we have $126.7 million in capital projects. That includes the 1450 South extension to Crosby Way, the 3000 East widening, the St. George Airport Terminal expansion, the Graveyard Reservoir. And then we've also added 26 new full-time police public safety staff. And so you add that, just fire and police, 26 new positions. You got to add the equipment to support all those positions. We're replacing 23 police vehicles, our SWAT vehicle, a fire apparatus, getting a new fire apparatus, and then also Station 10 down in Desert Canyon and the new fire station headquarters. So, you know, your money only goes so far. And if we just have to keep adding and adding, the benefit right now we're seeing is a slowdown in building permits, which is a nice breather for the city for a minute to catch our breath. And if we do slow down a bit, which of course we don't want a recession, but if we slow down a bit, then maybe we don't have to add as many positions to keep up with the growth.
They keep talking about a potential or maybe even impending recession, but I think it's not the word. The funny is maybe not the right word. I think it's interesting because we're not recession proof here in St. George, but we are comparatively speaking recession proof to a lot of other parts of the country. Utah, the study just came out. Utah is the best state to live in the United States, according to the U.S. News and World Report. And it's because, in my opinion, Michelle, we have been able to prepare ourselves. A lot of us Utahns have been taught to live frugally and to watch our, you know, save for a rainy day and do all those things. And I think we've done a good job as a state in doing that, so that when hard times do come, they don't hit us quite as hard as they do in some other places.
Exactly. And St. George was just ranked among the top American metropolitans in the country. And we ranked 10th, right behind Provo and Orem, and Logan was 13th, and Salt Lake City was 23. So, you know, people want to move here, they want to invest here, they love our outdoor recreation, they want an open business here because they like everything we have, and they like that we're family friendly. And so anyway, I don't see us ever stopping completely, like coming to a screeching halt, because people want to be here if they can afford to buy a house.
And by the way, and maybe this is the reason I live here, I'll take July and August in St. George any day over January and February in Logan.
Can you imagine having to shovel all that snow this year?
Yeah.
I mean,
I was in Logan in February for the basketball playoffs. It was not a fun place to be. No.
I think that's one of the reasons we saw record-breaking attendance at the art festival. Everyone was just trying to escape.
Let me out of here. Yeah. I got to get a commercial break in, Michelle. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, I do want to talk about the 700 South interchange, what that is going to do to St. George City and maybe perhaps some neighborhoods in St. George. Real quick, though, let's talk about Angelica's. Angelica's is AG approved. They just won People's Choice Award for Best Salsa at the Washington County Fair. They were ranked one of the top 10 Mexican restaurants in the entire state of Utah, and that the only one in St. George that made that list. And they were also ranked number 2 by another foodie website as best restaurants, regardless of the type of food, in St. George. So Angelica's is a place that you owe it to yourself to at least go give it a try. Maybe you're not big into Mexican food, but you need to go and you need to say, well, I'm going to give it a try. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised how incredible their food is. I love their sweet carnitas. But you go with your heart. Go with what feels good to you. My wife has been ordering vegetarian stuff lately at Angelica's, not because she's a vegetarian, but because it tastes so darn good. It's Angelica's Mexican Restaurant. They're located at 101 East St. George Boulevard. Angelica's is AG approved. Welcome back. Go right to the phone line. Mayor Randall is with us, and I believe it's Randy joins us online, too. Randy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in today. What's on your mind?
Oh, just a safety issue with our crosswalks. I noticed that I visited San Antonio a year or so ago, and I was surprised that when you're ready to make a right-hand turn at a light there, the crosswalk light here in Utah turns exactly the same time as the other light. In San Antonio, I noticed it was about 2 seconds. It gave the people walking in the crosswalk 2 seconds a head start, which created a huge safety factor for them because they're 10 or 15 feet out in the crosswalk before anybody else is getting ready. The cars are getting their signal, which I believe could have avoided a few people, pedestrians, being hit in the crosswalk because they're right there at the right-hand time. I'm just wondering, I know that's a state issue, you know, with the traffic control and the city does their own, but I'm just wanted to bring that up as a deal.
They
can look at that. It's really made a difference. Pay attention the next little while, Mayor, when you're at the light and you see that, see them turn at the exact same time. If they were given just a 2 second head start, it creates such a safety factor for the pedestrians. And then one other thing I wanted to bring up with the mayor, I talked to him this a couple of times on the radio tour, 1450 East out here, the last development before the temple intersection. With that landscape, it finally was done. And I'm not sure exactly whether or not the city did it or what, but...
No, it was the developer.
And quite sadly, like I have brought up before, it was done at a extreme minimal cost. The oversight on holding them accountable for what they had to bond for was not even close to what the rest of us have to do as developers. You know, when we put that landscape in, we got to tell you guys exactly kind of what we're going to do and have a designed landscape plan. And when you drive by that, you can definitely tell they spent a fraction of what they should have done for a 1450 street to be landscaped. It's just pretty.
I agree. It's better than the tumbleweeds.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's what I keep telling myself.
They did do the minimal.
But the oversight there, you know, to hold them accountable, you know, if they're going to bond for that stuff out in the future, they need to be held accountable to do it the way that they probably would have if they needed it to look nice to sell their lots that they had already sold.
Right.
So, anyhow, thank you for all that you do for this community.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Randy. Appreciate that. Let's go to line three. Yeah, you're on with the mayor. Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks. I just have a question for the mayor about the public comment policy. I'm wondering if there's any will any in-person comments be taken today? And if not, I'm wondering if she would reconsider that given the fact that there was no way for us to email our comments in. You know, some comments are time sensitive and there was no way for us to have emailed our comments in regarding today's meeting before the deadline had already passed. You know, the agenda packets went out, I don't know, on Monday or over the weekend. And for any public comments to be included in today's record, the deadline has already passed. So we're kind of in it. The public's caught in kind of a catch-22 where if we're not allowed to give a comment in person today, well, we also were prohibited from getting them into the record via email. And so that's my first question. And then my second question is the new rule about including your first and last name and full residential address. I know this is going to put a damper on a lot of people wanting to make comments. if it's going to be publicly available information with my full name, my full address, it's definitely going to put a damper on it. And okay. So anyway, I have other questions too, but those are the first two. I'm wondering if we can reconsider just for today, since the public was caught in a catch 22.
Okay, thoughts, Mayor?
No, we're not going to have public comments at the mic tonight. A lot of people come with something prepared to read. You can give those to the city recorder. She'll scan them and put them in, and they'll be available tomorrow. And or you can email them today sometime or even tomorrow, and they'll be available tomorrow. As far as the addresses, we will redact the addresses.
Oh, okay. That's good.
People won't have your address, but we need to see them to make sure you're a resident of St. George.
And trust me, if someone wants to know where you live, a Google search will do that really, really quickly.
Exactly.
Anyway, but
exactly.
Mayor, we're done. Oh, go ahead.
Real quick, just a couple of things coming up that people might be interested in. So Monday is the free concert in the park at Vernon Worthen. And that night it's called the 90s Block Party. So it'll be, I'm sure, music from the 90s. And then our movies in Town Square start on the 26th of this month. And those happen twice a month during the summer. At around 8:45, we watch, you know, for when the sun goes down. So the 26th movie will start at 8:45. And then May 20th is the Cops and Robbers 1K, 5K, or 10K at 9 a.m. at the Bloomington Park. And this is a really fun race. If you decide to be a robber, they give you striped socks. If you decide to be a cop, you're given donut socks. And people dress up and come. But it's a really fun event. And then also people need to know that St. George beat Team Washington on Friday in our flag football game by 20. It was a lot of fun, and they raised about $2,500 for the Children's Justice Center. So it was a great cause, and just a lot of fun. It's just, you know.
I wasn't able to go, Michelle, but I saw that one-handed catch video, that one-handed catch. Who caught that? That was amazing. That was incredible.
I can't remember his name. I got to find out. But it was amazing.
Yeah.
So,
well, now you get to hold that over Mayor Saley till next year. I know that
he held it over my head for a year. Believe me,
he did. Real quick, we got 2 minutes left. I did want to get your thoughts on, they're having some public hearings about the 700 South potential interchange. I know it's a UDOT project. You don't have a ton of say in the matter, but do you have any thoughts on them trying to create, squeeze a freeway on-ramp, off-ramp right in the middle of St. George?
Yes, I wish it wasn't happening.
Hmm.
I hate it.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts. No. I absolutely hate that an interchange would go there and affect so many residents that have lived, a lot of residents have lived in their same homes down there for forever.
Yeah.
And I just think the impact it's going to create, I just wish that I had some magic wand and could say, no, this can't happen. But unfortunately, like you said, it's a UDOT project, and I hope they will really, really listen to the residents and all the public comment they get.
We got time. We got 1 minute left. Christy is on line two. Christy, we're down to it. What's on your mind? Are you there?
Hello. Okay.
Yeah, yes, real quick.
I had a quick question for the mayor. I know that for the drag queen show, they recently, they did deny the permit. There was, you know, they hadn't done it apparently properly. But I wanted to know, for the future, are there any, I'm fairly new to St. George, right? And I do have a granddaughter in public school here.
30 seconds.
And I'm wondering, are there any city ordinances that exist that would disallow the shows in the public parks? If they want to have a venue that's closed for adults, fine. but I feel that having it in a public park where you do have young children is not appropriate, okay? And I'm trying to find out, is there any existing city ordinances?
Mayor, thoughts real quick? We've got about 10 seconds.
Currently, there's not. We are hiring a First Amendment attorney to tell us what is legal and what is not legal so that we can figure that all out.
All right, thank you. She's Michelle Render. Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate you coming on today.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too.